You're listening to the 710 ESPN.com Kamenetsky Brothers Lakers podcast, sponsored by Care More Medical.
If you are on Medicare or know someone on Medicare, call Care More at 1-800-965-1217 today or caremore.com.
Hey, joining us now, Andy, becoming a regular on the Kamenetsky Brothers Lando Lakers podcast.
And really, ESPNLosAngeles.com.
He's sort of all over the place. We had him on to talk about the Magic Bird documentary, the HBO documentary that was on, debuted early this month, earlier in March. He is in it.
Exactly.
Looks great.
We talked to talent.
That's what we do.
The movie.
Now, of course, he is, responsible for what you see on ESPN.com, ESPNLosAngeles.com, a huge spread on Lakers owner Dr. Jerry Buss. Steve Springer is joining us now. He covered the Lakers for 25 or so years with the LA Times. He's written books. He is as inside can get. Steve, how are you?
Good. I want you to know, no matter how many nice things you say about me, my rates are still going to go up for this, you know.
Well, that's to be, that's why we're trying to get you now.
before the asking price gets cemented.
You know. Right. Before the numbers come in on this Jerry Buss interview that you did. If you haven't seen it, it's on ESPNLosAngeles.com, currently on the front page of the NBA page.
And an interview and an article.
Right. Steve wrote an article about his time covering Dr. Buss and the team, and of course has a Q&A that covers a lot of stuff, from poker to Phil Jackson to his children, the passing of the torch, all of which
USC
we're going to talk
football.
About USC football. Let's just start in big terms. You know, over the course of it, and you touch a little bit on this in your feature article about it. What has the experience of covering Jerry Buss been like and being around him over so many years?
Well, you know, it surprisingly hasn't changed much. I mean, he's been the most open and receptive owner in LA that I've covered, and it's just, you know, he's come on in, stop by the office. He's kicked back with the jeans and the buckskin jacket and the boots. And you know, surprisingly few, Todd, he never dodges a question. I've never caught him lying. And he's just really open. It's like, you know, it is what it is. I'll be happy to tell you.
What's interesting to me, it struck me in the accompanying article that you wrote, was describing those jeans and the buckskin jacket. And you said, no matter how many millions he makes, Buss will never go Hollywood. And in thinking about it, most people, I think, when they see his lifestyle, you know, with the younger women and the poker and owning the Lakers and all the movie stars around, I think they would assume that he is Hollywood, in some ways that he is as Hollywood as it gets. In what ways did you mean, beyond just the wardrobe, that he really never will go Hollywood?
Well, I mean, he's from Wyoming, and he's kind of got that frontier kind of approach to everything. Obviously, he's lived in this community for a long time, but I think he's always stayed apart from it in being very distinctive. In, you know, he's taken what he's liked. I mean, he created the Laker girls when there were no cheerleaders around the league. He came up with the concept of Showtime. He certainly understands entertainment. So he's taken from it what he wanted, but he's remained a distinct kind of Wyoming guy, if you will, and he's in Hollywood, but he's not of Hollywood, and part of that is what I just said, the kind of the square shooting kind of no BS kind of guy. There's something very very wilderness about him, very very much the a part of the country that's not Hollywood, that's not the tinsel town image.
What, I guess even in Wyoming they love the ladies. That's not necessarily a Hollywood thing, I guess.
No, that pretty much goes on in Bangladesh too, I think.
Yeah, everywhere.
Beyond the 50.
That's exactly the continental U.S. When you look at his legacy in terms of, I mean, it is slowly passing on to his kids, and that's something certainly that we'll talk about. But when you consider his impact since taking over the team, what are the things that stick out most to you, you know, as someone who has been around it for so long?
Well, you have to remember when Jerry Buss took over the Lakers, it was unheard of for an LA Laker playoff game to have a higher rating than a Dodger exhibition game. That just wasn't done. I mean, the Rams when they came here after World War II, they owned this town, and then it became a Dodger town almost the day the Dodgers arrived, with something like 78,000 people in the Coliseum, and it was always a Dodger town. And if there was basketball here, it was at UCLA. It was John Wooden, and Buss just captured this town. And again, he did it certainly with superlative players, but he did it in an entertainment town. He did it with the Laker girls. He did it with Showtime. He did it by keeping a bevy of stars courtside. And he did it with his own lifestyle. He was certainly the Hugh Hefner of sports. So, he just took this town over for a sport that really was a second tier when he bought the team.
It's interesting.
Sure, they'd won one title. They had Kareem, but there's no way they could compete with the Dodgers in popularity. There's no way they could compete with the Rams in those days.
It's interesting to hear you say that, because now, I mean, we talk about this all the time. Andy and I were on the radio Tuesday afternoon, just talking about this, how it is so fundamentally a Lakers city. Hearing LA described in terms other than that is very interesting. But how long did that process take?
Let me add one more thing. Just thought popped in my head.
You sure.
I forget things. But again, we're going back to the Magic Bird documentary, which shows how at that point when Buss took the team over in 1979, the NBA was in the toilet. I mean, it was falling apart. They were talking about contracting teams. There were drug scandals. There was a racism issue. So not only did he elevate this team to the top of the heap, but he did it in a time when the league itself was falling apart.
Yeah, how long did it take? When was the point that you said to yourself, you know, oh my God, this is a Laker town now. This isn't a Dodger town.
Well, certainly, I think it started when Irvin arrived, when Magic arrived, and certainly that 1980 championship run excited the city. But I think it was when it became a dynasty, and I don't know how you define a dynasty, but certainly when they came back in 82 and won, they were in the finals in 83, and then I think the peak, when it really, this town was totally captivated, was 84, 85, when they played the Celtics, in that classic seven-game series in 84, and then when they beat the Celtics in 85, I think that's when they went over the top.
You know, there was an interesting exchange you guys had when you were talking about Dr. Buss and poker, which everyone knows he absolutely lives to play. And you brought up that he wasn't at this year's parade, and he was actually playing poker during it, and some people took that as a sign of disinterest or growing less interested in the team. And you asked him about that, and he said, you know, parades aren't as competitive. When you were talking about games, I'll be there. I'm very competitive and very involved with the team. But as for parades, I'm getting up there in age. Those things are very exhausting and not really for people who are 77 years old. And what was interesting to me about that was he both addressed that question, but earlier had said that he is looking to start a career as a professional poker player, which, you know, is a different career. And I think to some Laker fans would make them still think he's growing less interested in owning the Lakers. Is that in any way, no matter how you look at it, a fair assessment, or is he still just as interested in that role with the team?
I think he likes the fact that he doesn't have to go to the office every day, so to speak, that Jeannie takes care of the business side, that his son Jim is moving up, and Mitch Kupchak has certainly got his hand on the controls. But I think certainly when it comes to trading Shaq, when it comes to making sure Kobe stays, when it comes to key issues like that, it doesn't take much to get his attention. As long as he thinks the ship is running fine, as long as things are moving along and they're piling up the wins and things are going well, you and I think, so you win a few poker tournaments, who cares? But for him, like you said in that interview, it's an individual thing. He's so competitive, and he says, what else can I be competitive at 77? So it's kind of like, okay, you know, things are going along. I know we can win championships and I can go do this. But as soon as the red flag comes up, if Kobe tomorrow said, I don't know if I'm going to sign a contract extension, he'd be right back, his attention riveted. So, he said in there, I think it's nice to know you can turn your back on your business and know things are running smoothly.
I'm going to have to correct you on one element. I don't think of it as just a little poker tournament. I know exactly where he's coming from. If I could find a way to play poker professionally and have the buy-ins covered, I think I'd do that in a second. I can see exactly what it feels
to him. I think if you or I could do it and know that, so we lose $100,000 here or there, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
We'd really enjoy it.
Well, who's to say that I can't do that, Steve?
By the way,
I have a podcast. It's very lucrative.
There you go. There you go. Actually, I went on, I Googled him after I did this, and I found that he's, lifetime, he's $191,000 to the good in poker, in official tournaments, so.
Oh, there you go.
It's about $190,000 ahead of me.
That's a quality nest egg. You talk about some of those big decisions coming up. Obviously, the biggest one, at least for those people, I mean, I guess Kobe Bryant, I guess, is technically always the overarching story with the Lakers, but there's still no reason to believe he's going anywhere, despite the fact there's no contract extension yet. But Phil Jackson has been much more a question, much more subject to rumors, to questions about whether or not he's coming back. There have been reports that there's tension inside the Buss family about his return. We had Jeannie on this show a few weeks ago, and she said that it would be a major mistake to compare 2004, 2005, when Phil left for the first time, to now. The history just isn't the same, that there isn't a lot of tension. What is your perception? I know Dr. Buss says in the interview that there's no reason to believe, you know, that family tension is going to push Phil out the door. What is your assessment of the situation and the way the Busses look at Phil's return?
I really think Jerry Buss said is true. I really think when the final buzzer sounds on the final game, that's when everybody's going to take a look at it. Both sides, Phil and Jerry Buss, and I think that if they were to get knocked out in the first round of the playoffs, unthinkable. That's a whole different scenario than if they win another championship. I think the better they do in the playoffs, the more chance there is that he's coming back. I've seen no sign from Phil that he doesn't want to come back. I think $12 million a year is kind of an interesting issue, whether they want to pay that much. But I think and again, this isn't Jerry Buss talking, this is just me kind of speculating, but the fact that they did let him go the last time and it turned out so disastrously, I would think that they would have learned their lesson. I would think they think, well, do we want to go through this again with another Rudy Tomjanovich type situation where somebody's going to come in and just not be the guy? This guy's the all-time winner. Why would we want to let him go? So I think they're a little more cautious this time, but I really think that the ultimate answer is, you tell me when the Lakers' last game is, and I'll tell you what I think is probably going to happen. But again, the better they do, the more chance he's coming back.
If you think he doesn't come back, do you think it's more likely to be because Phil decides, the grind's not worth it anymore, or because the Busses can't agree on whether or not he's worth it?
You know, I can't see on either side why he wouldn't come back. I think as long as you've got Kobe and Powell, I mean, you can build a team around that. Sure, there's parts that there's questions and there's questions here and there. And do we really, you know, was getting Artest a good thing? What do we do with Sasha and Jordan and all that? But I think that with those two guys forming the small nucleus, and with Lamar tied up for a while, I can't see why Phil would not want to build on the success, and I can't see why the Busses would want to start toying around with that position right now when it's worked out so well. So, from my standpoint, I'm not paying somebody $12 million, so I don't have to worry about that. But I can't see from either side why he wouldn't come back.
Along those same lines, beyond the Phil Jackson issue, just Jeannie and Jimmy basically running the Lakers, and at some point it is going to be all them. A few years ago, it was visibly an issue. I mean, they were literally going at each other on radio and taking shots at each other. The last few years, that hasn't been an issue at all, and in part it's because they're winning. But from the way you know the whole family, how do you think that dynamic has come together and in a better way?
Well, the fact is it's not just Jeannie and Jimmy anymore. It's, there's another daughter, Janie, who runs the charity, and that's, she's kind of set there, but now there's another generation of young Busses coming up. You've got Joey, who's president and CEO of the Defenders, and he's just a kid. You've got Jesse, who's even younger, who's really into scouting and works in the scouting department. So I think what Jerry Buss is looking at is not only these two in key positions, but Busses everywhere. So I don't think it's just Jeannie and Jimmy anymore. I think long after we're gone, there'll still be Busses running the Lakers. So I think he's thinking way long term and just plugging in kids or grandkids or whoever, wherever they seem to fit. And I think things are running fine with Jimmy and Jeannie. And like I said, there's other buses coming up through the ranks.
What happens when Jerry Buss finally steps away from the team?
Well, I mean, the thing people talk about is the inheritance tax and how much that could cost and how that could really kill the idea of the kids assuming this $600-700 million franchise. But, you know, whenever I've asked Jerry Buss about it, he's always said that he's worked it out, that he's, you know, tax laws always change, but he's always on top of it. And that big hurdle, which other people have brought up, doesn't seem to concern him. And this goes back to 1981 when he said that he had signed Magic Johnson to a 25-year, $25 million contract, and we all kind of thought, this is 1981, we thought, this guy's crazy, and he said, you will come back to me within a few years and tell me this is a bargain, and who can argue? So when it comes to financial matters, I trust the guy.
The way that you know Dr. Buss and the time you spent around him, what do you think is the most surprising element about him or aspect of his personality that people really might not know about or they might assume otherwise?
Well, what surprises me is, you know, when he first bought the team, we looked at this guy with the cowboy boots and the playboy guy, and we thought, you know, this guy can't be a very serious player. How long is this going to last? And, you know, what, 31 years later, he's still there, still winning championships. So what's surprising to me is how, if you just judged him by appearances, you thought he'd be, you know, this town has a history of flaky owners and flaky managers, from Al Davis to the McCourts to Bruce McNall to all these guys, and Jerry has turned out to be the steadiest and the most long lasting and the most successful. And I think if you had asked me in 1980 when he first bought the team, he's the last guy I would have guessed would still be around, still be building dynasties.
Steve Springer, longtime writer for the Los Angeles Times, covered the Lakers for a couple of decades. You can see his Jerry Buss Appalooza, Jerry Buss Extravaganza. It's all Jerry Buss all the time right now on ESPN.com, the NBA page, and of course ESPNLosAngeles.com. We really appreciate the time, Steve.
Oh, sure. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.